Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 14th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. And I'm really glad you're here.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm also glad that Mac Weldon is our sponsor again today. That's pretty cool. We'll get to that. But before we do, Brian, there's an interesting, it's Hollywood Reporter article or interview with Eddie Q that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were both kind of digging into this before the show. And it offers some interesting insight into Eddie Q and his take on Apple television, meaning content. And is there anything in particular you wanted to dive into first with this?
Well, that was an awkward way to start this off.
Well, you know.
I'm supposed to be your friend. I'm not supposed to point things like that out. Right. Well, so let's start with how about the part where he sort of dashes my piece from a couple of months ago where I said, I think I titled it thinking differently about Apple buying a TV studio.
Yeah. Okay. So in the interview, he's asked specifically about Apple buying a TV studio or a recording studio. And he says, no, Apple's not looking into doing that. But then he adds in right now.
Well, yeah. So he specifically says that Apple doesn't want to compete with Netflix. And he said that we like the fact that we're working with all the studios. So then the Hollywood Reporter asked about the rumors that Apple had been in acquisition talks with Time Warner. This would be Time Warner, the studio conglomeration, not Time Warner Cable.
Right, right.
And that was actually the spark for my piece, where I actually looked at the reasons why Apple might want to buy a studio and why Apple could. It was coming on the heels of Tim Cook, Apple CEO Tim Cook, saying that he would consider larger acquisitions than Apple had made in the past. And so, you know, it's just kind of putting all the pieces together on why Apple, making the case for Apple buying a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought it was a good case.
Well, thank you. It was a good case. And ostensibly, Eddie Q kind of put the kibosh on that. And he said, quote, "So we have a lot of discussions with Time Warner, but I don't want to speculate. We're not at this point certainly actively trying to buy any studio," end quote. And on the one hand, you know, if you just sort of look at the surface of that, it basically says we're not trying to buy a studio. But that clause at this point certainly says to me that there was some smoke behind some fire behind the smoke involving these Time Warner rumors.
Right. Yeah, which is really kind of interesting.
Yeah, I would imagine that I said, because what that story said at the time was it was pretty innocuous. It was that not innocuous. It said that basically Apple started talking to Time Warner about this, but the talks were just sort of more like off the cuff, like, you know, hey, what if we buy you kind of stuff.
And Time Warner was probably like, yeah, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, well, I mean, I imagine it probably went a little bit further than that. So to me, Eddie Q's denial sort of still fits within that setup. So like I said, I imagine that there's at least some fire behind that smoke.
Yeah, and the way he phrased his answer tells me Apple is keeping the door open and is not ruling out buying a studio at some point.
Because of course Apple's going to keep that door open. If they decide at some point that they need to buy a studio, Apple is a company that can do something like that. But sure. he sort of paints this picture where, you know, we're not looking to like become major producers of original content. Instead, I'm talking about in this interview, he paints this picture. We're not looking to become major producers of original content. But we think that there are places where we can add something to the mix, where we can help facilitate content that makes sense within the context of our broader ecosystem.
Right. So, yeah, so Apple is into original content, but they're being very selective about it.
Right. Like, for instance, Planet of the Apps.
Right. And I should probably explain that because some people don't know what that is. Planet of the Apps, not Planet of the Apes, Planet of the Apps is it's actually a scripted reality TV show that Apple is part of. And they've actually opened up casting call for developers that want to be part of the show. And what they're doing is they're going to have all these developers working on projects, Mac OS, iOS, Apple Watch, or Apple TV. And right now they want to have like 100 different developers to start, and it's going to narrow down to ultimately where they have a single developer that is the winner and their app ends up on the App Store.
Yeah.
So it could be a really interesting show. And
could be. I want to know one thing.
Okay.
How was Planet of the Apps still available? How have there not already been 52 things called Planet of the Apps?
Seriously. Yeah. How is that not already a thing?
It's just, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. My guess is that there's a lot of people out there that did a head desk afterwards and like, I almost registered that domain.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But this is so. What it sounds like, there are other aspects of this interview where Eddie says that Apple wants to provide the platform for content to be delivered to consumers, and that he very much makes the case for there being better ways of delivering content. For instance, one of the things he says, and this was another situation where his wording is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it. He said, so he's saying that the customers, generally speaking, aren't happy. And so Hollywood Reporter asked, why aren't they happy? And they're not happy. He's talking about they're not happy with the way they get their content.
Right.
He said that they're not getting the features that they want. This is a quote. The fact that I have to set things to record seems idiotic. And channel guides, I get home and I want to watch a Duke basketball game. Why do I have to go hunting and find out what channel it's on? Why can't I just say I want to watch Duke basketball? Or even better, why does the system know that? Here's the Duke basketball game. Those technical capabilities exist today. They just don't exist for television.
And then my response after seeing that was, what about TiVo?
Yeah, because TiVo, and I'd forgotten all about the wish list feature in TiVo. That's been a feature in TiVo for a long time. And I'm currently a TiVo subscriber and user.
Yeah, and when I was a TiVo subscriber and user before I cut my cable, I used the wish list feature all the time.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's never been something that I use. I tend to go find the specific shows that I want and get season passes for them.
And I liked it as a discovery tool.
Fair enough. So just to actually see the current state of TiVo, while Jeff and I were talking before the show, I went through and I set up a wish list for Duke basketball. No, Giants basketball.
Okay.
San Francisco Giants basketball. No, baseball. It's one of the sports things. It's got the stick or the hoop or the
but there's some sort of round-ish object that they need to move from one place to another.
I'm really vague on the details, but San Francisco
Go
Giants.
Team.
Local basketball team, or baseball team. I'm still doing it. It's ridiculous. And created a wish list for that, and it took a lot of taps. It took a lot of took a lot of things to make happen. So, I mean, but the reality is that I was able to do exactly what Eddie said I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't overly convenient.
I wasn't able to do it in the way that he said that I couldn't do it. So, like, he's okay. Very specifically constructing the case for a voice interface.
Yes, that's true. Being able to say, I want to watch the Giant Duke thing. I need to work on the sports words. But the point is, you had to do lots of taps. He thinks you should just be able to say, I want to watch that game.
Right.
And then it just happens.
Right.
Which is a very compelling idea.
It is a very compelling idea. And I guess this sort of adds more ammunition to the idea that voice search was what Steve Jobs was talking about when he told Walter Isaacson that he cracked it. The interface problem of internet connected TVs.
I have a feeling you're right. Yeah, it was all about talking.
All about the talking. So yeah, I know it's interesting. It's an interesting interview, and another comment that you made when we were doing the pre-show chat was that it's really interesting seeing all these interviews.
It really is.
With Apple executives.
It wasn't that long ago when there just weren't interviews.
Right.
And now we routinely see interviews with all the executives. To a degree, even Johnny Ive. I'm assuming they take people into his white box room as opposed to letting him out.
Yes.
Right. But yeah, they might have some virtual thing set up. But still, it's just really weird for me to see all of these interviews. Yeah. Hey, we have more to talk about, so I'm going to move us on. And what we're going to talk about first is Mack Weldon. And I guess the response I'm going to have for people now when they say, hey, what's up against your body? Because, you know, that's like a question I get all the time. I'm going to say it's Mack Weldon. And some people will be like, oh, really? And others will be, yeah, I get it. And so Mack Weldon, what they do is they make like really comfortable, really well-designed, really high-quality stuff that you wear against your skin. So that would be like your underwear and your socks and T-shirts and undershirts and sweatpants, and those kind of things. Brian, they make hoodies also. And everything they make, just everything that I have tried so far, just feels really good. It's designed really well. It fits really well. And it's just absolutely awesome stuff. So for those keeping track at home, yep, I'm wearing their boxer briefs now. They're 18-hour boxer briefs. And I tried wearing them longer than 18 hours to see what happens. I did not explode. They did not disintegrate, and they still felt good. So they're kind of underestimating the 18 hours on those. And I picked up a pair of their socks, and this is the first time in my life I've actually owned striped socks. But I thought, you know, why not? And they felt really good too. And I'm very picky about socks because I spend a lot of time outdoors, and which makes me actually really picky about the underwear that I'm wearing as well, because you don't want stuff binding. You don't want stuff chafing, and you don't want to just feel sweaty and blah and whatever you're wearing when you're out walking and hiking and stuff. And I've been very pleased with what they're doing here. This is really cool stuff. So if you're in a position where you actually have to wear clothes, then you might as well make sure the stuff that's going against your body feels really good. And that's what Mack Weldon has done. So you have to check them out. Go to their website. It's mackweldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. And then use the discount code TDO, and that's going to get you 20% off your order, which is a sweet deal. So go check them out. MacWeldon.com. Use the discount code TDO. And when we see each other out in public, we can ask each other what's in our pants, and it'll be really awesome. People are just going to love it. All right. So, Brian.
You keep using the word awesome. I do not think it means what you think it means.
It may very well not mean at all what I think it means. And won't I be surprised when I find out?
Indeed.
Yep, that video is going to go viral. Yeah. Hey, so there's a date now for when the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear Samsung's appeal in the Apple v. Samsung iPhone smartphone patent infringement case, you know, the thing that started back in 2011. And that's the one where Apple ended up ultimately scoring $900 million-ish in damages. And then Samsung eventually whittled that down to like 540 something million and paid it with a stipulation that if the Supreme Court, or actually any court, ultimately rules in their favor, that Apple has to give all the money back plus interest. So
yeah,
that was smart on Samsung's part. Anyhow, so the Supreme Court's going to hear this case on October 11th. And what they're doing is ruling on whether or not a court, when calculating damages in a patent infringement case, can calculate damages on the cost of the device, or if they have to calculate damages based on the cost of the components. And so presumably that would be the components that are seen to be infringing.
Right.
And so if the court rules in Samsung's favor, which would be based on components only, then this goes back down to the lower courts, and they have to have a new damages trial. If they rule in Apple's favor and say, no, everything just stands, then that ends that part of Apple's case, or Apple and Samsung's case. But there's still a separate damages trial that has been put on hold pending the outcome of the Supreme Court case. So it doesn't matter what happens in this hearing. There will be another trial afterwards. It's just a matter of which trial it's going to be. So kind of confusing.
Yeah, it is. It is confusing. And it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
It will. And but in the end, it doesn't matter what the outcome of any of these cases are. I think Samsung is ultimately the winner. Even if the courts continue to rule in Apple's favor, Samsung's the winner because they've been able to continue doing what they've done all along. And
yeah, Samsung established itself in the smartphone market by systematically, deliberately ripping off Apple patents and design patents and utility patents. Mm-hmm. And it did so, and it had success when it did so, and then it had greater success when it offered larger screens than anybody else was doing. And you know, even if Samsung has to pay all the money that they've lost to Apple in the court so far, they've made billions more in profits from an enterprise that started off on the backs of another company's IP. And this is what Samsung does. Samsung does this in industry after industry after industry. It rips off IP, gets sued, it loses. By the time it pays, it you know, it's often too late for the company that they stole from. Mm-hmm. And this is just another day for Samsung.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels wrong that a standard business expense for a company like that would be the legal costs of defending patent infringement.
Yeah, it's, you know, deliberately stealing IP and then and then controlling the process of, you know, having to pay for that. And Samsung is expert in that, and Samsung has basically built a massive company in doing so. And it's not just in the smartphone market. It's, you know, they did it in the TV industry. They've been accused of doing it in almost every single industry in which they compete. And they have lost numerous court cases where they've been accused of infringing on patents. And, you know, they just keep on trucking.
Yep. So the outcome of these cases ultimately really doesn't matter to Samsung. They just keep modifying their attack, and they keep moving forward.
Yeah, well, you know, $500 million is not chump change, not even for Apple.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure Amazon would like, or Amazon, that's funny. I'm sure Samsung would like to get its $500 million back, and I'm sure
plus interest. Apple
would. Plus interest, and I'm sure that Apple would like to keep that $500 million. But you know, it's not going to move. It's not going to stop Samsung from doing this again, and be it in the same industry or another industry, and it's not going to, you know, stop them from being this kind of company.
Right. So October 11th comes around, and the patent fight will continue regardless of the outcome in the Supreme Court. So this is a case where going to the Supreme Court doesn't end everything. It just determines what the next step is in an ongoing fight.
Right.
So, yeah, well, that's got to make Apple feel really good.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, Apple voluntarily agreed to stop its big patent fights around the world with Android and Glo and Samsung in particular. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, I'm sure that to a certain extent, this is just a lot of pro forma going through the, you know, going through the steps.
I'm sure a lot of it is, because Apple does have to actively defend their properties or risk losing the ability to do so.
I just had to look and make sure I used pro forma correctly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm mostly pedantic.
Mostly. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Apparently, I will see you tomorrow.
That's right, because tomorrow is Friday. You and I are flying to Chicago for Mac Stock Expo, which is right over the weekend. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him again. You know, he makes a really great old fashioned, just so you know.
It's a Violent Femmes quote.
Yeah, well, I was running with it and turned it into a reference for a whiskey drink. Anyhow, hey, thanks to Mack Weldon for being our sponsor today. And head over to their website, MackWeldon.com, MackWeldon.com, and use the discount code TDO, 20% off your order. And I'm loving my underpants. You should love yours too. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.